Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Street Level Floppies Episode 5, a show where we highlight creator-owned books, small publishers, and imprint titles. My name is Andrew. I'm your host tonight. I go by the name Real Comics, and with me, as always, my podcast partners. To the left, Chris.
Hey, guys. What's up? Welcome back.
And to the right, Fred.
How you doing?
Great. We're all ready to talk about some comics and remind you that we are members of the Nation of Nerds. We want to entertain you, educate you, and introduce you to some new comic books that you might want to give a try. So let's jump right into some news for this week. Big news this week on comic book announcements. We have Martian Manhunter with Steve Orlando and Riley Rosmo. Excuse me. It's going to be a 12-issue mini. We have an X-Force book from Ed Breeson and Dylan Burnett. A Miles Morales Spider-Man book by Saladin Ahmed and Javier Garon. And sadly, it looks like Chelsea Kane's Vision has been canceled. So, Fred, of those stories, which is the one that really hit you?
I'm excited for the Martian Manhunter book. Because, you know, in the beginning, since they came back with the Justice League and the other books, he's been, you know, in each book. And I feel like they've been teasing it for like 2 to 3 months. And it's good just to know that he's going to have longer than a 6-issue mini this time. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it looks really good. What about you, Chris? What are you seeing?
Just to copy, to build on Fred's answer, the Martian Manhunter, I've always been told by like hardcore Justice League fans that there is no Justice League without Martian Manhunter.
Uh-huh.
That like he's kind of the soul of the team. He always has been. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that. But I'm really happy about Miles Morales. Because I was worried for a second with Bendis leaving. You know, I know that's kind of his prized possession, you know, so I was worried that with him leaving, that we wouldn't get a Miles book for a while. I thought that, you know, Peter would get a large focus in the Spider books. And I know Spider-Gwen is really popular now, too. But I'm glad to see Miles is back.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a hell of a team, man. I love Saladin. His Quicksilver just ended last week. I finished reading it. And just amazing stuff. So he's going to do well.
Doesn't he have a indie that did really well this year?
Abbott. It's been done for Abbott, a while, but yeah, he had Abbott. That was really good. It was only 5 issues or 5 or 6. I can't remember, but it was really good. And then, of course, he did Black Bolt and, yeah, Quicksilver. He's doing Exiles, which is kind of like a comic book version of Legends of Tomorrow, the CW show. You know, it's like a group of odd thrown together characters who travel through time and get into some strange adventures. It's a cool book, but yeah, I'm excited for that team. The X-Force, I mean, I like Ed Breeson and the team. It's the traditional team, you know, we're going back to the old school original X-Force. It's Domino, Cannonball, Shatterstar, Boom Boom, Warpath. You know, these are some, for a while, X-Force got dark. It became like the assassin murder team, you know, it was Laura, it was, Logan and, Archangel and, you know, just some real like killers, and they just went out and did all the dirty work, and we're like a black ops team.
They were under Cyclops, right? Cyclops.
Yeah, Cyclops would send. He would send them to do the jobs that the regular X-Men couldn't do, supposedly, and so it was just Murder Inc. all the time with that group. So this is back to the original old school, you know, kind of a fun anti-hero team, and I'm pretty excited for that one.
Nice. That's an interesting team. I feel like they like kind of. Those aren't the most popular mutants. Well, Domino, you know, she's really popular now. The other one's not too popular, but maybe this is their chance, you know?
Uh-huh, but there's some of the guys that were on the original team with Cable when he first put this together, so yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be good stuff. Fred?
Yeah, I was just going to mention some more stuff about, like, Miles Morales. I also am, like, a huge fan of
Saladin.
Yes, his work, especially, you know, because we're from basically like the same area. He might be like 5 miles apart from where I'm at right now. So, you know, I got to represent the Mitten anytime I can. But well, on the X-Force, though, you know, anything you put out with X in it, X-Men characters or things like that, I'm buying it. That's, you know, my go-to with Marvel books. I get them all, especially like you mentioned, Quicksilver. Even like this week, I got Iceman. If you were X-Men, I buy it. So I'm definitely down for that book as well.
Very cool.
Nice.
Going back to that Martian Manhunter too, I guess this has been a personal pet project of Orlando's for a while. He's been working on pitching this for a couple of years, and it's something he's wanted to do because it's going to go back and show us Martian Manhunter when he was a cop before, when he first took the identity of John Jones. And so we're going to see, it's like a detective story. So I'm pretty pumped. And the art looks amazing. He was sharing so many covers this week. He even said on his Twitter, like, they said I could show them, so I'm showing you all kinds of stuff. And he was showing all kinds of beautiful stuff.
Yeah, I saw a photo, like, I don't know if it was a cover, but there was, like, bodies, like, thrown everywhere, and there was, like, blood everywhere. And I was like, wow, that's pretty graphic. Like, I didn't expect that, but I want to see that. It kind of, like, it didn't look like a normal DC book to me.
It has that Mr. Miracle vibe. Tom King and Gerard's Miracle. Like, it's something off here. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's its own little thing.
I personally think they should do more of those. Like you said, 12 issues, right? Mr. Miracle, mm-hmm. That's 12 issues. So, yeah, I always love those contained stories that's just about the character. You know, not all the superhero stuff is great, you know, but I really like sometimes the smaller scale mm-hmm. personal stories with these characters. And, you know, John Jones, he has a lot of characteristic that would be fun to explore. You know, even though he's a Martian, he's very human. Like, he has, you know, his soul.
Uh-huh.
He's a very deep character. So I'm going to read that.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Plus, you know, with those bigger characters, even him, they're like all over the place. And so it's hard to tell that story contained in the regular universe. Like, oh, he gets pulled away for this mission for the Justice League. And then he's over here consulting with Batman and Detective Comics. And then he's, you know, it's like, it's kind of nice.
And the writer, where is he coming from? What has he been writing?
Orlando right now is writing Wonder Woman, but he's not staying on it. He's kind of a stopgap. He did Justice League of America, the one that had Vixen and Canary. Who else was on it? Lobo, Adam.
Yeah.
So, and then he was doing Supergirl, I think, if I'm correct.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's what I, yeah, he was on Supergirl.
And he did do a little bit of, did he do any Injustice? He may have done something on Injustice. He definitely did something on Metal, too. But other than that, he's been bouncing around different places. But I do like his Wonder Woman. It's the first time I've bought Wonder Woman since Rucka left, and I've enjoyed it. But it's just an in-between until Willow takes over, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And then, of course, the kind of sad story. Anyone have any thoughts on Vision being canceled?
I'm just wondering what happened. I don't know what happens. Because I believe she said she's been working on this for years now.
Well, she had four issues done. They had four issues turned in. Four issues
done.
Turned in.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what kind of things go into making that decision to cancel a book when it appears that so much work has gotten done. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of pieces that go into making a comic. It's more than just writing and drawing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other elements. So I'm curious as to what happened. Did she touch on it as to what happened?
She just seems angry, and she's not going to talk about it. She's just mad at them. And she's now starting to talk about her indie comic that's coming out in a couple of weeks. But I'm guessing that somebody else must want to do something with Vision and Viv. Because it was going to be about Vision and Viv.
Hmm.
And whatever is different than what she was going to do.
In Champions, they kind of hinted that he was dying, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They have hinted at that. So maybe he was going to die. Maybe he... You know, the solicit for the series that she was going to write talks about something that he's still tinkering with the body of the mom. Like, he still has it. Tong King series. And he's still tinkering with it, trying to bring it back to life and doing things. Like, he doesn't want to let go. And then, of course, she has her own things, you know. She's, you know, dealing with, you know, and you read Champions, how she gets her emotions turned on. She gets her emotions turned off, all these different things. Maybe it just went somewhere they decided they didn't want to go, or it just went against a different comic. I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt that, because it doesn't seem, nobody else is talking about it besides her. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think nobody will, you know. Once those decisions get made, I think they just get made. So I don't think we'll hear anything about this. Some people are pretty upset because a lot of people really fell in love with Vision from the Tom King run, and this was kind of supposed to be a direct continuation of that. But I don't know. You know, it's sad. You know, you could tell a lot, you know, off the I guess story and the world of Vision that Tom King built was very interesting to read, and I felt like he could have went even further with it. So it would have been cool to see it, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
They do still have to kind of address the fact that he's dying from Viv. He's kind of not telling her, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the Vision?
Well, I'm not a huge fan of Vision. I kind of find the character boring, but that's just my personal take on the matter. But
did you like Tom King's little run on it though?
I like the family aspect in the. I read the first trade. I still have to read the second one, but I did like what I've read so far. Yeah,
I like Viv. She's probably, her and Gabby are probably two of the best characters that have been created in the last few years for me that I really, really like. I think they both are interesting. I think they've both added to their comic that they're in, and eventually we're going to see both of them having their own comics, I think.
Somewhere in the future. You think so?
Gabby will be first. Gabby will get something.
I hope.
You think so?
I don't know if it'll happen, though.
I think one of them
I think if she gets something, it'll be like a, everyone's talking about kind of a crossover, her and Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know, that they have that one issue.
Yeah.
With her and Deadpool kind of saving the Wolverine.
Yeah.
And all new Wolverine and breaking into the animal lab or whatever. And that was a really fun issue to read. Laura's not even in it until the end.
Yeah.
And so people kind of want that to continue. But we'll see. Gabby's one of my personal favorites, too.
So do you make Gabby a little more kid friendly? That's the thing. They would have to make her just a touch more kid friendly and not have her really X-Men slice
Red,
and dice.
She's kind of, in X-Men Red, she's cutting people's hands off.
Yeah, see, they can't have that, because if they're going to do a solo, their market is the same market that they're going after for Moon Girl and maybe even Kamala Khan's and Ms. Marvel. They're going to go for a younger audience, but still make it accessible to everybody, because we'll all like her. But you know what I mean? To really be successful, you can't go with a dark version of, like, you can't make her Hit Girl Part 2. I just don't think that would be good for the character.
Yeah.
I don't think Marvel would do that. Yeah. All right. Well, that's our news for this week. So we're going to go ahead and get into our comics that we reviewed this week. Our six comics that we felt were the most interesting, independent, creator-owned, small label comics. And our first one is Low Road West number 1. Eisner Award nominated writer Philip Kennedy Johnson and artist Flaviano present a new limited series in the aftermath of a nuclear first strike that has left the East Coast uninhabitable. 5 teenagers are being sent west away from the wreckage that was once their home. Halfway through the Oklahoma Dust Bowl, the shuttle that promised safety has broken down, stranding them in the middle of nowhere with only one another to count on. Their only hope seems to be a town just on the edge of the horizon, but the closer they get, the stranger things become. If they want to survive, they will have to learn to trust one another and with society crumbling around them, trust does not come easily. Written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, art and cover by Flaviano Armentaro, colorist Miquel Muerto, letterers by Jim Campbell, variant cover David Lafuente, published by Boom. Fred, this is Low Road West.
With the art show, originally before the books come out, Andrew and I kind of come together with like a list. Chris is usually working a lot or school or interning, so he's kind of, we kind of make the picks without him being a part of it. So that in the beginning, this book wasn't even on our list, because Andrew and I do get our books through DCBS, most of them. It opens up more time for us to read like more PDFs that we have available. And I read this book originally. I thought it was really good. I actually put it in a message that Chris and Andrew and I share. And I was like, man, you guys should check this book out. I thought it was good. Andrew read it. He agreed. So it's made our list. I love this book. I thought it was great. I thought the beginning, like, you know, the kids on the bus and the dynamic of the kids on the bus and their conversations and the thing they did, like how this whole book is focused on the post-apocalyptic nuclear war kind of deal. It has a sense of realism because having like allies turn on you and stuff, you can kind of see it in modern day society, politics, things that we're going through. I just felt a connection with some of these kids in the way that like just their story and stuff, and really fell in love with like their conversations, the way that they reacted to each other in this book. I really like this book. What do you guys think?
I feel like every episode that we've done so far, there's been at least one book that involved a cast of kids, like a group of kids, in the book. This is by far, I think, my favorite book that we've read like that. Just as far as how the kids are portrayed, that voice of the kids and you know, kids trying to figure stuff out, I feel like this hit just right. I felt like if there were five kids on a bus stranded and kind of had to figure things out on their own, this is probably how it would happen. You know, I really got that sense of like, okay, yeah, you know, there's a moment there where I won't spoil it for anyone who hasn't read it, but you guys will know what I'm talking about, where they think they can trust, you know, a group of adults, and they start asking them like, hey, you know, where's this, where's that? And they quickly find out that they can't, you know, and I won't spoil how that happens or anything, but that was a really powerful scene because I felt, you know, a lot of the other books that we see with these group of kids, they kind of already know how to deal with everything. They're really smart and they're really, like, you know, slick and they get away and stuff. But this wasn't the case with this book. And it was some really powerful moments. And I agree with you, Fred, that this was a very good book and I'm glad that you suggested it.
Yeah, I would echo a lot of that. And the kids felt real. You know, a little stereotypical, like I was saying, you have like one girl is like, she's like the angel. She's a sweetheart. There's no doubt about it. Then you have the other girl that's a little tough. And then you have the standoffish know-it-all guy. You know, there's a lot of those kind of characters. And it reminded me a lot of Runaways. I felt those same kind of interactions that Brian K. Vaughan gave me in Runaways, that these characters felt real. And they felt like kids. And they, like you said, they weren't perfect. They didn't become all buddies in the, you know, not even at the end of this issue are they all buddies. You know, they're still kind of like not trusting each other and feeling each other out. And it had a really good feel. And the story, again, post-apocalyptic, is pretty common. And it's a simple setup, you know. World's destroyed. Kids have to go somewhere else and they're on a journey. So I don't think we actually still know what that journey is completely yet. But that's okay. I was hooked on this as a opening issue of introducing me to some really interesting characters. And yeah, it's not a book we initially had, but it was a one, and so we were kind of looking at it, and yeah, it was a really good book, and I'm glad we added it.
Yeah, I mean, so like to play off the kids part and stuff, there's one kid, I think his name is Ben, that shows some interesting abilities that he may have, which kind of, you know, makes you wonder what else is going to happen in this book. I think it's supposed to be a 5-issue run, so I'm sure it's going to be pretty action-packed, or at least I hope it is, just as well as this book, because, I mean, the book here, just reading it and actually having it in my hands personally right now, just looking at some of the art and things, it looks a lot better, like, in book form. I like it. It kind of gives you, like, a little Mad Max feel to it, too. Maybe it's just the desert part. I don't know. Maybe that's the part for me, but I think, who was it? We were in a thread and we were speaking about this book before it came out. I think, Stace, Geeky Goddess, she mentioned that it was kind of, she felt like it felt like Resident Evil in a way. Like she could see it going that way. And I mean, we're just all speculating right now, but if it goes that way, oh, wow. That would be pretty exciting for me.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like that, right? It kind of seems like that because. Mm-hmm. Dang, I don't want to spoil it, but kind of that ending where they look out the window and they kind of, you know, see everything that's out there that wasn't there before. You know, that kind of gave, right. Yeah, that definitely was kind of like Resident Evil Raccoon City type, you know, stuff going on there. But it really, and it also, it plays with a lot of different themes. Like you said, there's kind of this overtone of war. So they're war refugees, and that's a whole nother conversation in itself. And then on top of that, you kind of got the character who's a bit standoffish. There's a moment in the book that made me like do kind of a double take, where he is talking to the other boy, and the boy is kind of assuming that he's one of the enemy. Right, because of how he's acting, and he's all like, oh, why are you assuming that? Because of like my race, that's kind of racist or something. And I think the boy appears to be Middle Eastern, something like that. I just based off of his name,
I think, and so stuff, too.
So that kind of gave me a clue as to, okay, who is America at war with and stuff like that. And then on top of that, you kind of get that whole supernatural stuff. But it deals with it kind of well. It's really good world building.
Yeah.
So nothing kind of seems out of place. You can kind of think like, oh, this is happening. Okay, you know, it doesn't just come up out of nowhere. They kind of explain, you know, some things happening, and it sets you up for later issues.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like a Boom book. It's funny I say that, but Boom has a style, and they definitely, the way the art's drawn, like, it's almost like a cartoon, but like a quality cartoon, not a little kid's cartoon, is what I'm saying. And the themes are adult enough, but they're also simple enough, I think, that you can read it fast and, like you said, grasp it. And yeah, I liked it a lot. So, Fred, if you were going to give it a score, what do you think you'd go with?
I would give that book a 4.5.
4.5, excellent, good score. And Chris, what would you give Low Road West?
I would give it a 4. It's a solid book, very entertaining. It sets up the stage for the next issue very well, and I'm interested to see what happens next.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll give it a 4 as well. It's a great opening book. I want to come back for more. Kind of not happy if it's 5 issues though. It seems like they could tell a lot more with that, but we'll see. All right, let's move on to our next book. Our second book of the night is Crowded Number 2. The million-dollar Reaper goal on Charlie Ellison's head keeps going up, drawing more unqualified and armed users to try and kill her and her bodyguard Vita, who's desperately trying to keep her only client alive. When the sanctity of Vita's home is invaded and they have to find a new safe house, they're dragged through some dark corners and began to uncover who started this campaign. Written by Christopher Sabella, artist Rose Stein, inker and cover artist Ted Brandt, colorist Triona Farrell, letters by Cardinal Ray, variant cover by Skylar Partridge, published by Image. This is Crowded. Chris, what'd you think of Crowded?
So, as you guys know, absolutely loved issue one of Crowded. I gave it a 5. I think it was the first 5 I gave on the show. And issue number 2 picks it right back up where issue number 1 left off. You get more of the world in this one. So there are some parts, like I won't spoil it, but you guys know where we go and we see the bodyguard kind of takes the client to this place, like with these hacker kids, and they're kind of explaining to her like how the world got this way. And I think that was kind of more for the reader to kind of see like how the world got that way. So I thought that was a really clever way to kind of do like a little exposition without doing it. So you really get to see that this is a world that is not just some wacky stuff going on for no reason. Also some great moments between the two main characters. It's really starting to see, what's the bodyguard's name?
Vita.
Yeah. It's really starting to feel like Vita cares for her. And is putting up with more than what she signed up for. Now, obviously, you still get the sense that, you know, this is her duty, you know, and she takes it very seriously. She takes her job very serious. But you also are kind of, I'm kind of getting the sense that she cares for this person and like starting to a little bit. And that's nice, too. So it's a lot going on in this book. You still get a sense of that whole like sharing economy stuff that we talked about in the other episode. And you're starting to see how that works and plays out and stuff like that. This was great. I enjoy reading.
Fred?
Yeah, I like the book, too. I mean, Sabella just seems to be on a roll. I feel like we got to know the characters a little bit more this issue, especially Vita. We get some story into her life with her relationship. I really like the art in this book, like just with the pictures of facial expressions and, you know, when there's conversations, and it just makes the dialogue flow a little better. But yeah, I like this book as well. I might not like it as much as the first one, but I'm still digging the storyline. I like where it's going. I like the little more, you know, kind of seeing in the beginning the would-be killers and things like that, and seeing what happened. This issue had some action. Gave a little story of, you know, basically the $1 million campaign. I'm still digging this book. I like it a lot.
I liked, like you were saying, how it explained how this became a thing, how Reaper actually happened. It actually made sense, you know? Mm-hmm. I could see that happening, like, oh, okay. It started it as a way on the dark web to hold politicians accountable. And of course, like anything else, it becomes a monetized and it starts getting used for anything. That girl called me a bad name. That guy looked at me wrong or canceled the date. Yeah, the next thing you know, there's Reaper campaigns for everything, you know?
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed that. I also really, Vita is a badass. And I didn't really get that as much in the first one because, you know, she's supposed to be the lowest rank.
Mm-hmm.
What are they called? They're not called bodyguards, but whatever they're called when you order them on the app, she's like really scored poorly, but she was a bad A. You know what I mean? The way she took people out with her rule of not having to kill them was pretty amazing. Then we saw this little mystery about her past. She runs into an old friend who's a cop, and they give us a little something, but not enough. And then finally, our main character just coming, how she comes to that realization that the people she thought were her friends aren't her friends. Yeah. And they actually paid money to have her killed. So there's a lot of great moments, and there's enough humor, and the story's moving quickly. You know, they're moving all over the place, hiding out, changing, you know, character wants to go to the bars instead of staying in a safe house. Just lots of neat things. And I enjoyed it a lot. And it's, you know, the people that were saying last week that it's kind of childish humor. There was some good violence in this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely another winner.
I love that, like, when you mentioned her rule of, like, no killing. I love that her explanation for not killing is that she doesn't want to put up with the paperwork. That I thought that was really funny. Obviously, it's probably more to it than that, but I love that that's our explanation. Like, I don't want to do the paperwork. Yeah, this was. I'm not too sure about the main character, how much I like her yet. I still feel like, you know, what when Fred talked about in the last time we talked about Crowded, that it's something going on with her that she's not telling. That she did something to deserve this that she's not quite talking about. Like, I think there was a scene in the first issue where she wanted to turn off the TV or something. Like, they were talking about something and she didn't want that information to be known by Vita. So we'll see. A lot of funny moments. Like you said, this is some adult humor. It's like the scene in the club and she's kind of like choking her friend out. kind of got her in a headlock and choking her on the ground. Like, why would you do this to me? That was hilarious.
Hey, Fred.
I like the book. I thought it was good. I can't wait to see like where it progresses to. I like that we've gotten a lot more to know. We're learning, like Chris said, like Vita has a soft spot. We're starting to understand that, and she is showing that she cares. Because I mean, who puts up with that much BS from somebody and without, you know, having like feelings? Mm-hmm. There's definitely some sort of attachment there.
Yeah, and you're right. It's, you know, her name's Charlie. It's hard. For a moment, when they were in the hot tub, I felt sorry for Charlie when Charlie was realizing nobody liked her. But yeah, you just reminded me there's a lot of reasons not to like her. So she's going to break Vita's heart at some point in this book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Chris, if you were going to score it, what would you score Crowded?
I give it 4.5.
Nice. Big score. Big score. Fred?
I would give it a 4. This issue, it still has potential to be super good. Four is a good number for me this week.
I'm gonna go with a 4.2. Going into it, after I read it, I thought it was gonna be my pick of the week, and then I read one I liked better, but at that point it was my pick of the week. I really enjoyed it, so it was about a 4. It was a very solid issue. Nothing bad coming from Sabella, that's for sure. All right, let's move on to number 3, Farmhand number 3, by the way. Riley and Abbott Jenkins, or Abby Jenkins, are the Jenkins Farm's newest interns. They'll spend the day shaving scalped bushes, trimming nose flora, you know, farm stuff. Also, Ezekiel has a heart-to-heart with Tree about the Jedediah seed origin, and it ain't good news. Written by Rob Gulleroy. Artist and cover, Rob Gulleroy. I hope I'm saying that right. Colorist, Taylor Wells. Letters by Cody Chamberlain. Published by Image. This is Farmhand. All right, Farmhand number 3. If you haven't been reading Farmhand, it really touches on some interesting topics about cloning, in essence. There's a farm where they grow plants that... The plants grow body appendages that you can use to add to your body to replace maybe an arm or a hand or for facial surgery. Or we got a joke this time about the melon farm, if you can guess what those are for. And so it's a really interesting topic about, well, is this a good thing to do to be, in essence, creating human being parts and then putting them on people? And then we kind of see that sometimes they have a reaction and they don't graft well with humans and bad things happen. So that's a little back on the story. This issue, felt like an episode in a larger story. It was a good filler issue. I enjoyed it a lot. It moved the story. It introduced me to the son a lot better, Riley. We got to see Riley in school. We got to see the type of person Riley is. He made a friend who has an interesting, shady backstory that we're going to probably learn about later. We learned a little more about our lead character, Ezekiel, and his past. Something happened to him on the internet he doesn't want to talk about. Why is it always the heroes are comic book writers, too? I guess he's a comic book writer. or artist. They couldn't say, just said him and his funny books. And we had a little like kind of mishap again with the plant. Something happened. It caused a reaction to this time to an animal, not a person. So I feel like this was a good issue in the whole of the whole thing, because it's building this big universe. I mean, we're not talking one little contained story for their main character. We're going to have a storyline for the son. We're going to have a storyline for the sister. We're going to have a storyline for the wife. We saw stuff with her last time. We're going to see all these different things. So I think this is being built for a big, long run. And I really enjoy it. And I like the story a lot. Maybe it's not on its own, which you would say is an outstanding comic. But as part of the bigger picture, it was really good. So, Chris, what do you think?
Well, I haven't kept up with this story. So this was the first issue that I read. I didn't get a chance to read one and two. As far as the story, I don't know if it's my personal cup of tea. That's not to say it's a bad book. It's a little bit wacky. It's a little... Well, just the way that, you know, you explained the story, like the way that they're growing stuff. So I think it's supposed to be a little bit funny, a little wacky, which is fine. I do, however, really enjoy the art. I believe the person who's writing it draws it as well, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So that was, I always loved that. I always love like a person kind of taking command of their, you know, artistic, you know, projects, and he's writing it, and I feel like the art style really goes with the story really well. It's kind of this wacky, all over the place stuff. It kind of plays with structures and panels and things like that. That I always really like in a comic book. I think it's really creative. However, I don't know if the story is for me.
Gotcha. And what about you, Fred?
Well, this issue, I kind of liked it. Because in the beginning, first two issues, Riley wasn't the main focus. And I liked, you know, a little bit of background about him. He actually made a friend, although his friend seems, like you mentioned, pretty shady. Like something's going to happen there. But I like the humor in the book, especially if you, you know, the first two issues, you kind of get some of the visual gags and things in this book. But the main thing, like the art, I love the art, but I also like the colors, because this book is pretty bright in colors and kind of makes it fun just with the art aspect. But yeah, this definitely feels like a filler issue, and I hope you're right about like them building a farmhand universe, because that'd be pretty interesting. I don't know if it'll rival the Black Hammer universe, but we'll see.
No, it may not rival the Black Hammer universe, but it definitely looks like a good universe. Because if you see the cover of the next issue, I think they're going to focus on the sister, the kid's aunt. And so that's another character that has been focused. So again, they're building up all these people, and then we're going to start seeing multiple stories. That's what I think I'm excited about. And the art, yes, the art is great. I mean, there's kind of large heads, long necks, so it's a little bit cartoony to kind of fit with the whole idea of you're growing plants that grow noses and ears, yeah, and fingers and whatever else they're adding to it. And it has that horror aspect, you know. I asked myself a question at the end of this. When the animal eats some of the plant, it kind of goes nuts. If a human eats some of the plant, will the same kind of thing happen? Because we haven't seen that yet. So I'm thinking, wow, so if somehow some fruit or something were sold from this farm, would that be an epidemic that, yeah, would poison people and cause people to turn into monsters and different things? So I liked it a lot. I was very excited with this book, and I'm on for the long ride. I hope it has a long ride. So if we were going to score this, Fred, what would you give Farmhand?
I would score it a 4.
A 4? Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Alrighty. And Chris, what would you give?
I think I'd give it a 3. A solid 3.
I would give it a 4 as well. It's a filler issue, so it's not as strong as maybe some of the other issues. But I'm definitely a big fan of this book. And as a series, it might have been the best for me this week. So, enjoyed it a lot. All right, let's move on to the next one. Hot Lunch Special Number 2, a Midwest noir series set in the harsh landscape of the northern Minnesota Iron Range. Hot Lunch Special is all about family, food, and the fight for survival. Only one question is worth asking. Is blood thicker than sandwiches? Liam Moran, the son of notorious Irish mobster Big Jim Moran, was only supposed to send a warning, a machine gun message to the Jordan Corey. To the Jordan Corey, that's what it says. Pay up or pay the price. Unfortunately, things went sideways, and now someone is dead. Broken hearts and bitter questions are left in the wake of this untimely murder. But before they can be addressed, it's time for a fictitious Corey family funeral. An outcast son will return home. A mother will mourn. And a guilty, grieving grandfather will finally reveal his dark criminal secret. Written by Elliot Raoul. Art and cover by George Fornes. Letters by Taylor Esposito. Published by Aftershock. Hot Lunch Special. Fred, what did you think of Hot Lunch Special?
Okay, I feel like too many people are sleeping on this book. You don't see a lot of buzz about it on the internet. Maybe I'm biased, and that's not because Taylor Esposito is the letterer. But I just want to say, you know, if you enjoyed like mobster movies or books with a hint of, you know, a kind of True Detective feel with a hint of maybe a little Fargo, then this is your type of stuff. This issue didn't have the action as the previous one. It had more of it showed a lot of attention to the aftermath of something big that happened at the last panel of the first issue. But I really dig this book, especially, you know, right at the beginning. If you noticed in that picture where it showed the vending machine and it had somebody's head cut off and put in there. Yeah. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, I did.
I was like, oh, wow, where's that coming to play in here? But I just like that aspect. And maybe I'm just biased because I truly like a lot of mobster stuff. And I like that kind of stuff. So it's a different pace of book. It's not, you know, like capes and things. This is something that I can get into. This issue, though, especially, I like the backstory of learning that both families have a son that's basically a mess up. They, you know, you see it. They, you know, one's having fun, partying, living the life because his dad's balling out. Then you have another one that's seen some things that he probably shouldn't have seen at such a young age and just makes dumb decisions. I like this. Chris, how do you feel about this
one? You mentioned two properties I love a lot, True Detective and Fargo. I kind of, now that you mention it, I can see that. I'm definitely love the mobster aspect of the book too. But this is another one that unfortunately I didn't get to read the previous one. And it sounds like it would have made my experience a lot better. In the second issue. So because I felt like you said, there were little things in the panels and there's some good world building. And I do think the story was put together well. I want to go back and read the first one so that I kind of get a better grasp of it. The art is good. What else did I like about it? Yeah, it's a decent story, and I really love that mobster stuff too. I like Godfather and all of those things. So I'm always down to read that. I feel like there's not enough like mob type stories in comics.
Gotcha. Yeah, I liked it too. It's not as good as the first one. The first one really hits you. The first one's like if you go to a concert and they hit you with that hard driving song to hook you and get you in the mood. Then the second one, they brought it down a little bit because they had a lot to show us. They showed us the family. Like I said, they introduced the two sons. A little more backstory on this feud between the two rival sandwich or the trucking family and the sandwich making family. Which to me is hilarious. Well, this is a gangster movie. It's not your traditional gangster comic, not movie.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Because it's about people making sandwiches. You know what I mean? They're the sandwich kings of Minnesota or something. You know? So it adds that Fargo silliness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But still, it's very serious. You know, they killed some people. They cut off a finger. You know, they did some crazy stuff. But it's a lot of fun. I think it's different enough that it can be that traditional mobster story with also being another adventure in the same. And yeah, I would go back and see the first. I mean, what's so interesting about the first issue is it's about a character that doesn't even survive the first issue, you know? And so it's, yeah, different kind of a book. But Fred's right. I think a lot of people are sleeping on it. And it's a really good book. It's Aftershock. Look into it. Yeah. So, Fred, if you were going to score Hot Lunch Special.
I would, this book, because I thought it was extremely well written and, you know, it kind of moved the story along. I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Wow.
Just based upon how well it works with the first issue and moves it along. Mm,
definitely. And Chris, what would you give it?
This one, I again, you know, I don't want to give it too low a score because I didn't read the first issue. But just based on this one, how it was put together, I'll give it a 3, middle of the road. It definitely made me want to go back and check out the first issue.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll give it a 4. It was a nice surprise. I didn't read the first one when it came out. I bought it when I bought the second one, when I found out we were going to review. So I read them back to back.
Nice.
That's why you could really tell the difference on 1 versus 2. But I really like the idea. I think it's a good story, and I think we have another winner here. Another book that's going to be around for a while. Different story. All righty. Let's move on to the next one. Cemetery Beach #1 from the creators of the acclaimed Trees graphic novel, which are currently being adapted for television, comes something completely different. A professional pathfinder, his only ally, a disaffected young murderess, breaks out of a torture cell in pursuit of his worst extraction scenario ever. Escaping on foot across a sprawling and secret off-world colony established 100 years ago and filled with generations of lunatics. Written by Warren Ellis, art and cover, Jason Howard, letters by Phonographics, published by Image, Cemetery Beach. Chris, what did you think of Cemetery Beach?
Okay, so I would start by saying that I really like Warren Ellis. He has a style that even if you don't know who's writing it, you'll know that it's Warren Ellis by the end of the book. I did read Trees. Trees came out a long time ago, maybe 2014, 2013, something around there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good sci-fi book. And this is also appears to be sci-fi. And I'm really liking this team together with the art is great. The story, even just the way it started out, was kind of intense. I was like, you know, that whole opening interrogation scene, it went kind of from 0 to 100 miles per hour, like yeah. really quickly. So that was a really interesting scene. And like I said, when I talk about Warren Ellis's style, he has a way to tell a story without using any words. So a lot of time, like he did on his Moon Knight, run that he was doing for Marvel a few years ago, you'll get a good 2 or 3 pages with no words, but it's telling a story. And I really like that. So yeah, this book was good.
Very good. And Fred, what'd you think of it?
Like Chris said, the beginning, how it started off with the interrogation scene and how witty the interrogation scene was, it kind of won me over in the beginning. And just to piggyback off his art thing, I think there was 6 pages of art that just progressed the story in this book that was done so well that you didn't need words. You've seen it panel to panel. He gave the artist a chance to, you know, show what he can do and progress the story. And I think that's a sign of a good team right there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like this book. I didn't know what we were getting into with it, with the title.
Oh yeah.
You know, we try to choose like #1s, and I'm glad that this was the one of the ones that was chosen because, man, that interrogation scene and the things and just him talking about like rolling tobacco and cigarettes and things like that. I was like, I was in like right there. Like they won me over just with that scene right there. And then how it progressed from there, I'm like, oh wow.
Yeah.
But this is definitely a good book for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. The writing was just outstanding. Instantly I was snapped in, like you said. They were talking about rolling cigarettes, and you're riveted, you're intrigued because you know something's going to happen, and you're just going panel like, what's the next mm-hmm. thing? What's the next thing? And I mean, right from the get go, I'm sucked in, and I had no idea what kind of book this was going to be. With a name like Cemetery, I was thinking, okay, this is going to be another horror book, and it wasn't anything horror. It was a sci-fi, and I'm not usually a big sci-fi, but this was like a sci-fi action kind of thing, yeah. You know, and you have this big action hero, and then he's got this strange prisoner murder female that he, you know, breaks out, that's now like, I'll show you how to escape. And then he takes him on this wacky, crazy, you know, escape, like Fred said, that's mostly all art. And it's just, it's like bang, 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 nonstop. That thing was running a mile a minute. And you're just flipping, and the next thing you know, the book's over. It's obvious that, once again, we're talking about somebody in Warren Ellis who knows how to do a comic book. And this is a winner. This is my favorite book of the week, without a doubt. The top book. I read that, and I wanted to read another one. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. It can't be over yet. I still have really no idea what the hell's going on. This is the first time I read the solicit when we did it. And this whole thing about the, what does it say, an off-world colony established, that just filled me in a lot better than when I read the book. I didn't understand that part, but I didn't care. I had so much fun reading it, and just the action and the way I moved forward, that I enjoyed the hell out of the book.
Have you ever read Trees?
No, I haven't. That's something, dude, I need to read.
I read Trees. Yeah. I don't have no goddamn clue what that book is about. It's hard. I'm going to go back. You know, I'm going to go back and actually read that, because it's one of those things that it was kind of hard to understand what it's about, but it's uh-huh. so good. You know, you love how the story is being told and stuff. So I have a wow. feeling this is going to be the same.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to have to read Cliff Notes for this to understand some of it. But it didn't matter. I just had so much fun with it. Fred, do you have anything to add to that?
What I will add, I would add that the art and the grittiness, kind of, you know, the grittiness from the art, it kind of, you know, makes the story even more intriguing to me.
Yeah.
I like the art style as well.
Yeah, definitely. Very good. So if you're Fred, would you give it a score?
I would definitely give this another 4.5. It seems like that's the scores I'm giving all this week, but we've had so many good books this week. I enjoyed them
excellent.
All.
Excellent. And Chris,
I give it a 4.
What do you think? 4? I'm going to go big. I'm going to go big. I'm going to give it the big 5. Nice. I really like this book. I mean, I can't wait for the next one. I mean, it's instantly added to my pull list. It wasn't on my pull list. I just bought it off the shelf. Yeah, I'm all in for this. Like I said, I don't quite understand everything that's going on, but I loved it. And that's the key, I guess, to love it. So definitely a big 5 for me. All right, our last book of the night, Nancy Drew number 4. The bodies are piling up. The cops won't help. The suspects won't talk. Nancy and crew have one move. Infiltrate the Palace of Wisdom, a pop-up club full of danger and drugs. Will Nancy be able to crack the case before she or any of her crew is targeted next? The mystery goes deeper. Written by Kelly Thompson. Artist, Jen St. Ange. Colorist, Triona Farrell. Letters by Nate Pikos. Cover artist, Tula Lotte. Variant covers, Jen St. Onange. I'm sorry, I know I'm butchering that. And also another one by Jen Bartel. Published by Dynamite, Nancy Drew. Okay. When Nancy Drew was suggested to me, I kind of like Nancy Drew. Okay. And I was aware that Kelly Thompson was writing it, but I still was like, well, Nancy Drew. As a kid, I did read Hardy Boys books, and I knew of the Nancy Drew books. Guys, don't be turned off thinking it's the Nancy Drew that was in the books when you were little. While there's elements of that, this is a really smart, well-written, fun mystery book. You have some very interesting teenage kids. I wouldn't say they're like we talked about before, they're maybe a little wittier than your average teenager. They're like young adults, but they're still really well-written. And the banter is great. The mystery is great. I really fell in love with this book, and I didn't expect that. I mean, I was told that I would. Fred has been reading this book, and he's all, Nance Drew, and I'm like, really, Nance Drew? Okay. But yeah, I was pleasantly surprised how good this book is, and I will definitely be continuing to read Nancy Drew. Chris, what did you think of Nancy Drew?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to disagree. Personally, I also grew up, I read a lot of the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew kind of mysteries. Kind of made me really interested in the whole mystery genre. I really like, it's Kelly Thompson, right? Mm-hmm. And I really like her work. However, I don't know if this book is for me. For starters, I'm not sure if I personally like the, like, you kind of have to modernize Nancy Drew. But yeah. I don't think I like this kind of characterization of her. I always kind of looked at Nancy Drew kind of as like the girly girl kind of character, but really smart, mm-hmm. you know, and it like kind of her looks was really deceiving, you know, and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But I also don't think this, I don't know. Like, the mystery, the central mystery is fun. The art is pretty. The book is a pretty looking book. I don't really like the supporting cast all that much. I didn't like the dialogue between the kids as much as I like from the book that we talked about earlier. What's it called that we just talked about?
Low Road.
That one.
Low Road West.
Yeah, Low Road West. I didn't find the dialogue between the kids to be as good as like that. You mm-hmm. know. And I actually did go back and read the previous issues for Nancy Drew. So but I just personally don't think it's for me.
Gotcha. Fred?
This issue I still enjoy like the murder mystery aspect of this book. Like you mentioned, Andrew, this isn't your mama's Nancy Drew. This Nancy Drew has, you know, murders, cover-ups, drug rings, raves. It has all that stuff. So, but to me, like, the team, I get the kind of feel with this book is it's kind of like a little Scooby-Doo without Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
That's what they're going for. And some of the, like, the art kind of gives me that feeling too. Mm-hmm. And maybe because I'm a big Scooby-Doo fan, maybe that's why I enjoy it, or maybe I'm just biased because I like anything Kelly Thompson writes. But I enjoy it. And like from the beginning, it was suggested to me to read this book, and I took somebody's advice, and I didn't think I was gonna like it, but I actually did. You know, the first issue, I was kind of hooked. What I will say though about this issue is shout out to the letter because they had a lot of work to do in this issue. There's a lot of word bubbles that were like 8-9 lines long.
Wow.
I was like, oh wow. You know.
Yeah.
I like this. I can't wait to see, you know, where it's going. And I also kind of like how some of the friendships in this book is become challenged in a way. So I'm wondering what's going to happen there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I can see Chris's point about, like, because I mentioned it when I sent mine, that they're like witty little adults at some time. So the dialogue, even though they're kids, is not what you would necessarily say children's dialogue. It's smart, and there are things in it that children, that teenagers would talk like, but it's not, like you said, like the first book was more realistic how kids would approach things. These were know-it-all kids. But I guess I just enjoy her dialogue, and I don't think about it too hard about the fact that they're probably talking more like they're college-age kids than they're high school-age kids. And I like the Scooby-Doo reference. I do feel it does have that. It has that cartoon, Sunday cartoon feel. And maybe there's some nostalgia in there for me because I did read a lot of Hardy Boys as a kid, and, you know, they're in the book, and just the mystery aspect of it. It's modernized just enough for me. But yeah, I see where you're coming from, Chris. Like, you wanted her more. Because I remember reading a Nancy Drew book when I was a kid, and you're right, she's more girly. And that's why I didn't like it. I just handed it back to the young lady who said, hey, check this one out. I was like, nah, for me. And I guess maybe now this one is a little more modern, so I guess I can take it. I don't know. So, Chris, any more thoughts on it?
No, I don't have any more thoughts.
Okay, sounds good. Fred, what would you score Nancy Drew?
Just based upon, like, the satisfying cliffhanger that they left us with, I'll, you know, give it a 4 for this issue. Okay. I enjoyed it.
Sounds good. Okay, Chris, how bad are you going to nail Nancy Drew? Come on.
No. Two and a half.
That's not too bad.
I don't hate it. I feel like my reasons for not liking it are more personal than actual execution. If you gave me the book and asked me, oh, how could you make it better? You know, I don't think they're necessarily doing anything wrong with the story. It's just, I don't know if it's my personal cup of tea.
Yeah. I don't think any of us are the audience for this book. Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah. I just happen to like it, but I'm not the audience. And she didn't, this team didn't get together to like, hey, let's get him to like that book. You know, this
is different.
So that's pretty natural, to be honest. So that's pretty good. If I were to score it, I probably would give it a 3.5. This issue alone, a 3.5. I really like the series and I'm excited for where it's going. I think, like you said, the bubbles being big, there might have been a little too much dialogue this time around. But good book. All right. Well, those are all our books for this week. And we're going to move in, you know, since we were talking about Kelly Thompson and Nancy Drew, we're going to go ahead and spotlight Kelly Thompson this week. She is the writer on Nancy Drew and many other Marvel books who she happens to have an exclusive contract with. Fred, what do you have on Kelly Thompson?
Well, I know that she went to college at Savannah College, Art and Design. But on a more personal level, I know Kelly Thompson is a very genuine person. We've emailed back and forth in the past due to some shipping issues that I had. And I found out how genuine she is and how, like, she really takes into consideration how, you know, the people that buy her books, and she really took care of me. She went above and beyond. She helped me out. She gave me more than what I paid for. When I didn't, you know, ask for it, I was just looking for, you know, asking what the time frame may be for, like, my order. And I was pleasantly surprised, and she won me over just right there. That showed she really cared. I also know that she signed in January of 2018, she signed an exclusive deal with Marvel. She's an Eisner Award winner for best continuing series for Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. Some books that she's written, I know, like, Jim and the Holograms was one of her first, Ghostbusters. That's actually the first book that I read of Kelly Thompson's was Ghostbusters. I know she's did, like, a book called Creepy. I think it was issue 20 she did. You know, she's done Lumberjanes. She's done many Marvel books. What do you guys have on her?
Chris?
She writes, what is she writing right now for Marvel?
Mr. and Mrs. X and West Coast Avengers.
Yeah, I'm reading both of those. She's really good. I like her. I didn't get a chance to read some of her previous stuff. Jim and the Holograms sound cool. That kind of takes me back. I kind of forgot about that. Yeah, she's really good. West Coast Avengers has been a great run. So has Mr. and Mrs. X. And I believe she wrote Rogue and Gambit as well, right?
Before Mrs. X, Rogue and Gambit leading up to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was really good. Like Fred said, I hear that a lot about her, that she kind of, a lot of people have nothing but nice words to say. I know online she kind of combats, you know, a lot of the negativity that happens. And that's all I really got. Yeah.
Okay. Well, some things to add to it. You mentioned the degree at Savannah College of Art. Specifically, it's a degree in sequential art. So her objective was comics coming out. And she was a writer. She wrote a couple of blogs. She reviewed comics for CBR for a while. She had her own podcast. So she was, before she became a comic book writer, she was involving herself with the comic book industry. And that was her way to probably help break into the comic book industry. I tried to look for some of her old articles in the podcast. I couldn't find anything, unfortunately. But yeah, and then she did Jen and the Holograms. She also did a Power Rangers, the Pink Power Rangers. She did a 6-issue limited series with Teenie Howard and Brendan Fletcher and Danielle DiNicolou at Marvel. She was part of the Captain Marvel and Carol Corps. It was a 4-issue limited series with Kelly Sue DeCormick. And that was her last. That was Kelly Sue's goodbye to Captain Marvel. And she talks about in an interview I read how awesome it was because everyone looks up to Kelly Sue as the one who kind of broke the doors down for a lot of the female writers.
Yeah.
And to get to work on that project with her was like, you know, the biggest honor. So that's one of the big things she mentioned. She wrote, she also did A-Force. If you remember A-Force, that was a great comic. It was a team of female heroes that had She-Hulk and Valkyrie and Dazzler. What else? Who was on there? Nico Minoru was on there. And Miss Marvel and Captain Marvel, excuse me, not Miss Marvel. That was another. She did a Captain Phasma book for the Star Wars line on Marvel. Everyone forgets about that Star Wars line. And there's been some great writers, you know, Charlie Soule's on Darth Vader. You have Jody Hauser on a couple of the Star Wars. She did the Thrawn book. It's by the, so don't sleep on those Star Wars books at Marvel. There's some really good writers going on. And then
those Star Wars books are great.
Yeah. And then, you know, the Hawkeye book is what she's most well known for. And one of my favorite is the Generation books that came out for a while where they were pairing the old, legacy character with the original. Her Hawkeye was really good, where kind of the young Kate, where Kate Bishop goes back into the past and runs into a young Clint Barton and they have kind of an adventure together. It's really entertaining. And read West Coast Avengers. It's a lot of fun. She's a great writer. She's also part of that team that's doing the X-Men. The Uncanny X-Men.
Yeah.
She'll be part of that. So don't. Yep. She's coming big soon.
I can't wait for that.
Did you mention Jessica Jones too?
Oh, I forgot. That's right. She's doing the digital only Jessica Jones. And I believe Bendis personally tapped her to do that. So
nice. Yeah, I'm reading that one too. That's really good as well. All of those kind of Netflix comic books are coming out. Like the Luke Cage. Jessica Jones has one, and I don't know, there's another one too, but yeah, that's really good.
Well, it's kind of interesting is it's similar to last a couple weeks ago when we talked to, about Vita Ayala. Now, obviously Kelly Thompson is much farther along than Vita. These young female writers haven't really gotten as many books, and that's why we don't have as many books to talk about. Like when we talk about someone who has such a large catalog. But these are the people we're going to be talking about going forward. These are the writers that are getting the books, that are getting the big books. You know what I mean? She's working on the X-Men, you know?
You're reviving the Uncanny X-Men pretty much.
You know, you can't beat that.
That's crazy.
And, you know, so the future. Fred, anything else to add to her?
No, just whatever she puts out, I'm buying. Just because of my experience with her and stuff. But other than that, yeah.
Well, she has a lot for you to buy right now. You're going to spend a lot of money. All right. So we're going to go into the last part of our show, discuss what we maybe read this week, what we're watching, what we want to watch if we're putting off shows. Fred can tell us about the new DC service. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so what were you reading and watching this week, Fred?
Man, I've read a lot this week. Do you just want me to go down to everything right now?
Yeah, hit the highlights.
Okay.
Save some for us.
All right. Independence, I read Seeds 2. I like that story. Of course, I read Moth and Whisper because that's actually the book that we, Andrew and I spoke about, but we actually replaced with Long Road Home or Long Road West. Is that what it's called? Oblivion Song 7. I think that's what the new story arc. I enjoyed that book as well.
I haven't read that yet.
She Could Fly 3. That book is one of my favorite titles out right now. It's pretty, it deals with a lot of mental illness in the book, and I enjoyed that book quite a bit. Speaking of like a long, it's called Long Road West. We spoke of the first book. There's a book I picked up by, called Smoketown by Scout Comics, written by the same writer. And that book is super intense. It was like about spousal abuse, like a female, she, you know, she had enough and she basically just takes her husband out. It's like super intense. The writing was super good. I highly suggest, like, if you can find that book, you know, give that book a look. Also another book is Paradise Court. It's, number two by Xenoscope. And, if you like a book like Scream, that it's kind of like that. And it takes place in a gated community where things go on and all, and it seems the community is a little shady. That's definitely a book. Volition 2, I read, it was actually better than the first one, I thought. Like, it moved along.
I agree on that.
And I did read, The New Weatherman, and I began House of Whispers before this, and I got a ton of DC and Marvel too, but I'll let you guys, you know, get your stuff out there.
Chris, what about you? What'd you read?
I've been reading some Old Man Hawkeye. That's been pretty fun. I think you suggested that, right?
I love that Old Man Hawkeye.
Old Man Hawkeye is pretty good. I've been getting into some Ant-Man, Astonishing Ant-Man. I'm also reading the older runs of New Mutants.
Oh, cool.
So I'm kind of getting into that lore, which is pretty fun. What's the best thing that I've read?
Danny Morningstar is one of my favorite mutants ever.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Or Moonstar, not Morningstar.
Excuse me. One of the... What is those have I read? That's been pretty good. Yeah, it's kind of what jumps out. Old Man Logan is pretty good as well. Still reading, like I said, the Darth Vader stuff, the Star Wars stuff is all good. And that's kind of what I've been doing.
Yeah, I didn't get to read as much of my new stuff. Like, I really didn't get to dig into DC yet. As I kind of mentioned last week, I got into this, the comic book service, the mail service, the DCBS. So I didn't get my comics for last week until this Tuesday. So a lot of what I read is stuff that everyone read last week. I really loved the Asgardians and the Galaxy, which is something everyone read last week. It was really good. I read Astonishing X-Men, something from last week, and I read The Immortal Hulk. So those were three books that I read from Marvel that are actually not this week's books, they're the weeks before. On the indie scene, I read Weatherman, and it was like a big old what the hell? Because that's been one that's been a favorite of us on here. And I almost felt like I had missed an issue. It kind of went off the rails a little bit. And it had a scene in it with a little kid and a mom that was really, really disturbing. And I thought I couldn't even be more disturbed after the dog issue. Yeah. And I was like, whoa. I kind of like backed away from Weatherman. I'm kind of glad we didn't. review it.
I haven't read that issue yet.
Oh, take a look. You're gonna be like, whoa. I mean, I swear, I literally went back and pulled out issue 2 to make sure, or 3. I don't know what was this one, but anyway, the issue before, I like, okay, yeah, no, I didn't miss anything. It just kind of assumed I knew some stuff. It was not. I don't know. It just wasn't as good as the other ones, but wasn't bad. But it wasn't as good. So that was when I read Volition. Yeah, it was better, Fred. I agree. And I didn't like that book. You know, I really did not like that book.
Did you feel like this issue, like one of the characters felt like Bumblebee? Like it had a Transformer feel to it?
Oh, yeah, it definitely did. It definitely had a Transformer feel to it. I don't know. Maybe it just, there was less exposition. It was more just a story, you know, and them escaping. I don't know. I just enjoyed it more. So it ranked a lot higher. If I would have read this one, I probably would have given it a little more love than I did the first one. Yeah, and that's pretty much what I read. Like I said, I mostly for the show and yeah, some stuff from last week. So maybe I'll tell you about this week's books next week. Right. So, Fred, go ahead and throw some more down.
I did a lot of catching up just like you. Like I also, Astonishing X-Men 15, I caught up on Ghost Rider 3. I caught up on X-Men Gold 35. Quicksilver No Surrender 5.
Oh yeah,
I forgot that one. That one was really good. That was pretty deep.
Really deep. Yeah.
Another one that I caught up on that was really good and I'm really enjoying the run is Captain Marvel or Captain America 3. That is one of my favorite Marvel titles. I like what Ta-Nehisi Coates is doing with that book. And then two Marvel books that were new out this week, Iceman 1. I'm lukewarm on that right now. And Infinity Wars 3, I also caught up on too as well. And
how are you liking that?
The third one I don't like as much as the first or the second one. But, I mean, they're introducing those new characters, like the, what is it, those...
the fusion character.
Yes. Because those characters, I think they have three books coming out the rest of this month of like side books, like the Super Soldier or whatever it's called. Yeah. And I also caught up on like two DC books, Super Sons 2, Nightwing 48. I'm feeling sad about Nightwing because we've heard that Percy's going to be removed soon. So
yeah.
That's tough. But then the two new books for DC this week I read was Catwoman 3. That's still one of my favorite DC titles. Is it good? Yeah, it's good. Oh. And I got the variant cover, so it looks so real, the cover does. Like, that's outstanding art. And then Detective 988. Surprisingly, I'm not a big... who's writing it? James Robinson? I'm not a big fan of his, but I actually did like the first issue of this arc, so yeah, I mean it's not Brian Edward Hill writing, but I still like what he's right now.
Yeah, I have those DC books sitting over here on the table. I haven't quite hit those yet. That's my next reading. I bought the Archie book too. That's pretty interesting. And then Seeds blows my mind. that book is just wow. I really like that book. But it's a hard book for me to recommend. I'd like to have to like almost know you and know your personality. Right. And
I think
you really want to take that deep dive.
I think it's like if you like are into smoking weed, you should probably smoke weed before that. So you can really think it out because that's a, you know, a deep book.
Okay. I didn't smoke weed to read that. Just so everyone knows.
I would definitely suggest it though.
Oh yeah, it is a tripped out book. I mean, there's a scene at the beginning of this where on the other side of this wall, this fence, you cannot use technology. You're not allowed to have or use, be in possession of technology. So as this woman's about to go, she decides she wants to go live on that other side. They're literally the like armed like police and everything. They're smashing her cell phone for her and saying, sorry, not my rules, gotta smash it. And she's about to go off into this oblivion side where there is no technology. And it's almost like the people think, oh my God, you're going to like the wasteland to live and you're going to probably never come back. And her friends, instead of giving her a hug or being sad or crying, they're taking pictures of her or videos or whatever to stream of her with her phone. That's like, because it's showing like the addiction on the one side, the addiction to the technology.
Right.
And the other side, they're completely rejecting the technology. And that's just a little piece. We're just talking about a little piece. Then it goes somewhere else and goes down a different rabbit hole.
The book, the book to me feels like if you ever watch Black Mirror on Netflix, it has a feel like that. Like there's like something deep in there. So if you're into that stuff, I definitely suggest this book.
Yeah, I can't even, even if we were doing a spoiler free show, I'd probably be sitting here floundering on some of my explanations of things. But definitely a cool book to read, you know. If you like some different trippy books, I would definitely recommend that. All right. Anyone else have anything else to add?
I got the DC Universe app.
That's right. That's right. You're supposed to tell us about that.
It's a lot of the old cartoons, and I think like Constantine's on there, Birds of Prey, Lois and Clark, Superboy, the TV show is on there as well. A few movies that's like, it's even got like, what was the newest, animated one? Death of Superman. That's on there already.
Okay.
Gotham by Gaslight. It's got a lot of those movies on there as well. But to me, like, I'm not all into it yet, but my kids are digging it because Batman Brave and the Bold's on there. They're watching a lot of Brave and the Bold and, what else are they watching? Justice League cartoons as well. So they're liking it.
Does it have Super Friends?
Yes, it does.
Nice.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, and then it has the original Teen Titans, not the one that's on TV right now. And then it also has the Legion at what are they called? Legion of Superheroes? They're on there as well.
Nice.
Wow. What about the comics? What is the comic selection like?
A lot of Batman ones.
Of course.
I don't like there's a couple Wonder Woman. I didn't go into depth with that stuff because, you know, just like you mentioned when we were talking earlier, we read a lot of comics. The last thing I want to do is read more comics. So I was trying to watch some, like, I never got into Birds of Prey, so I watched the first episode of that and I thought it was okay. I mean, it was okay. They also have on there, they have some documentaries of certain things like Batman Tech and they have some shorts like Doom Patrol shorts and things like that. That's kind of cool. But I'm just waiting for next month where they said what comes out, Titans.
Oh, okay.
I want to see the original content because I've basically seen all this stuff. Although I do enjoy Batman Brave and the Bold, and I might be watching it after the kids walk away. Don't judge me, but that's one of my favorite cartoons.
It's a good show.
Yeah. Like I told you, the reason I'm not pulling the trigger is I've got Netflix shows I haven't even finished watching, and it's like, okay.
Right.
I'm going to wait for the new stuff, and I can wait a few months, and then I'll add it, so.
Right. I mean, there's like you mentioned about like the TV shows and stuff. There's so much content out there. It's hard to keep up with everything. So,
yeah, we were spoiled. There's too much content, to be honest.
Yeah.
There's too much content.
And then especially if you're a sports fan, maybe not a Lions fan, but a Jets fan, you might find yourself. Chris didn't want to jump in on the Jets thing. Your team smoked my team, and you don't want to say anything.
No, I'm gonna be nice,
humble. You're just gonna be humble.
I'm gonna be humble. We gotta play the Patriots twice a year. I don't know.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Okay, guys. Well, we're gonna go ahead and call the show a night. Look at that, man. I'm so tired. I can't even speak. We're gonna call it a night on this show. And I remind you that you can always find me at Real Comics, RELCOMICS. You can find the show at Street Level Floppies, Street LVL Floppy. Chris, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter, panels_hoodies. Always available. Hit me up.
Fred, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ComicsFred. I just want to say before we sign out that I want to give a shout out to everybody that's given retweets for the show, things like that, especially a buddy of mine, John, from the Pop Culture Cafe. He retweets like everything, and maybe that's why we get a lot of Canada hits, or maybe it's just him downloading from there. We'll find out, but thank you, John.
Yeah, definitely. Also, thanks to the First Issue Club. Is that that's the name of it? They do a lot of tweeting. They promote our show. We have a lot of people that have said some kind things about
Professor
us.
Professor Frenzy show. I think they said some things about us this week again, and they shouted out our podcast on their show. But yeah, a lot of good people following us, and we thank you. If we didn't mention you, we're sorry. We'll get you next time. Just hit us up. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's it for tonight. Fred, go ahead and hit it.
Just like the streets we call our home, show some love for the creator owned.